today's story, we, Time of Hope Radio, invite you to follow along as we continue with Mother Teresa of Calcutta, an invitation and challenging call to follow in Jesus' steps by Father Dick Gungwin, are done by leaders Danielle,
Gwen Mai, Mike Han,
Gwen Yu,
Kyuvu, and Philong.
Chapter 3, Catholic Social Teaching in Action. Dear Jesus, help me to spread thy fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with thy spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of thine. Mother Teresa, The Joy in Loving, 278. 1. Human Dignity.
According to Mother Teresa and the teaching of the Catholic Church, God created human beings in His image, gave them a dignity, and reached out to them through His love. Each human being is a supreme object of God's concern. The object of God's love is not an abstract idea or theoretical concept. Rather, it is directed toward all human beings, for whom the Son of God offered His life and thereby gave the promise of everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. John chapter 3, verse 16. Therefore, the Church teaches her children to have a deep respect for individual being, as well as to protect human dignity of all people at all times. Through His two greatest commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, Jesus invites all to enter the realm of love, which is based in God and flourishes by human acts. The command to love others issues from the first. It has its root in the love of God. God is seen in the neighbors, whoever, wherever, whatever they may be.
By seeing God in others and understanding the sacred character of each human being, Mother Teresa, through her life, actively and unceasingly promoted and protected human dignity, especially for the voiceless, the troublesome, the unknown, and for those whose dignity has been stripped from them. Mother Teresa broke through all the false barriers that divide human beings. She did this in situations in which human beings were helpless and under conditions had ground them to an almost inhuman level. No matter where a person came from or to what religion he or she belonged, Mother Teresa reminded people that everyone is seen as equal before God. She repeated over and over that her charitable efforts were based on a vision of every human being as the very image of God, a member of the body of Christ, and a fellow citizen in the heavenly kingdom to come. All her works, whether building houses for those who are dying in the street, or sacrificing her time, money, and even her life in service to another, were for the sake of the sacredness of the human person. We must acknowledge the dignity of the poor, respect them, esteem them, love them, and serve them. Often I think they are the ones to whom we owe our greatest gratitude. They teach us by their faith, their resignation, their patience in suffering. Teresa, Joy, 172. In fighting for the dignity of the destitute, wherever she visited, Mother Teresa gave the world a moral example that bridged the divisions of culture, class, and religion.
In order to show her respect for the dignity of each human being, especially those who were being left out of society, Mother Teresa opened many houses to welcome and take care of them. Her first concern about opening a house was for those suffering from leprosy. Mother Teresa found that leprosy existed mostly among the poorer sections of society. like the poor of Calcutta. The lepers generally did not have the education to know what they were suffering from until the deformity set in. They became desperate and did not want to live in a society which rejected them. Understanding the sufferings of these people, Mother Teresa, at first, decided to start a mobile clinic for leprosy patients under a tree at Chittagong, several kilometers outside Calcutta. Because of the increased needs, in 1974, she was given land that used to be a railway dump yard to develop a center. With help from many volunteers, the center became a place where the lepers could live and work. This center was later named Gandhiji Prem Nivas, the Center for Leprosy Patients in Chittagong. It is run by the missionaries of Charity Brothers. Mother Teresa was happy to say that, within a short time, a patient's faith and hope and self-esteem are restored, quoted in Bharti 122. She brought life and dignity back to those who once were lost. Today, leprosy patients can have a life, knowing that they can get help and be cured. They no longer have to disappear and hide if one has leprosy, and this means the whole family can now live together without fear of infection. Quoted in Bharti 120.
Although Mother Teresa worked with lepers, abandoned babies, and other needy people, she was best known for her care of the unwanted dying. These people lived like animals, but at least they died like human beings. Tucker 3. Mother Teresa said that one day she found a person who was half eaten by rats, lying in the rain on the sidewalk, ignored by passerbys, and dying. After carrying the man to several nearby hospitals, where she was repeatedly refused admission, Mother Teresa watched the man die in her arms. While Mother Teresa recommended the man's soul to God, she was distraught by the merciless rejection of the poor man. When that person died, she did not hide her feelings. They looked after a dog or a cat better than a fellow man. They would not allow that to happen to their pets. Quoting La Jolly, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, 42. With that feeling burning in her heart, Mother Teresa immediately went to see the mayor of Calcutta to express her concern for the abandoned people dying in the streets. Because she had applied for and received Indian citizenship shortly after leaving Loreto, she was able to speak on behalf of the citizens of her country. Respectfully holding back her own deep emotions, Mother Teresa simply described the situation of the dying homeless and asked for a place where she could take care of them. She assured the city's officials that she wanted only a location. She and her sisters would do the rest. Her conviction and insistence persuaded them to help her. Consequently, the home for the dying and destitute was established by Mother Teresa and was called Nirmal Hriday, Home of a Pure Heart. The passion for this project was to assist the abandoned dying, those people who had no place to go to exhale their last breath. In helping the poorest of the poor to die well, she defended the infinite worth of every human life and opposed today's pragmatic culture of death more effectively than any other single person. Taking care for others is taking care for Jesus. As Mother Teresa says, our home for the dying is the home for the homeless Christ. Quoted in Playfoot in Gonzalez Balado 93.
When Mother Teresa had just opened this house for caring for the destitute facing their imminent death, there was some opposition. The opposition was based on the fact that the home stood on sacred temple ground, which enjoyed tremendous popularity and a considerable income. Others opposed Mother Teresa on the ground that she was coming to convert people to Christianity there in the center of Hinduism. Although the city allowed her to use the facility, many religious and political leaders strongly opposed this project. There was a political leader who sent a young man to Nirmal Hriday to ask her to leave. When he came to see the place, Mother Teresa offered to take him around. He answered he could see things by himself and needed nobody to take him around. As he went around, he saw the sisters washing the sores,
feeding the hungry, distributing medicines, and giving injections to miserable bodies with sunken eyes, all in a gentle and loving manner. When this man came back to the leader, he said in a firm voice, "I shall not get her out of this place before you get your mothers and sisters to do the work these nuns are doing. In the temple you have a goddess in stone. Here you have a living goddess." Lay Jolie, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, 44. Gradually, by seeing what Mother Teresa and her sisters were doing, the people of Calcutta, even some leaders of the city, had to leave them alone. In Calcutta, there are thousands of human beings born in the street, live in the street, and eat what little they manage to scrape together in the street. In the street, they contract illnesses, and in the street, they die. To bring peace and happiness to them in their last breath, Mother Teresa did many things for them. Since Nirmal Hriday was opened, it has admitted over 30,000 destitute, and half of them died in the home, decently, peacefully, and prayerfully. Lay Jolie, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, 43. Mother Teresa, the sisters, and their co-workers washed these people, fed them, consoled them, cheered their spirits, and prepared their souls so that, rejoicing in the hope of a happy life in heaven, each one of them might die with God. Mother Teresa recalled that there was a man who picked up and taken to the home for the dying. Before he died, he said, "I have lived like an animal in the street, but I am going to die like an angel, loved and cared for." Quoted in Playfoot and Gonzalez Bellotto, 90.
The Home for the Dying and Destitute today welcomes all people from different religions around the country. When men and women first come to Nirmal Hriday, they are not usually able to speak for themselves. So, when they arrive in ambulances, or the sisters or brothers bring them in, they are placed in the register as unknown. Then, with a little care and love and some food, they do manage to speak and give their names. The sisters try to find out what religion they are, so that when they die, they can have the appropriate burial. The Catholics go to the cemetery, the Muslims to the Muslim burial place, and the Hindus to the burning ghat. It is so touching to see that, not only in taking care of their physical needs, Mother Teresa and her sisters also respect and take good care of other spiritual needs when they no longer exist on earth, but peacefully enter the afterlife.
Today, Nirmal Hriday Home is one of many houses for the dying around the world, established by Mother Teresa. However, today and forever, Nirmal Hriday, the first home for the dying in Calicut, stands as a monument to human life even when that life is barely perceptible in its final heartbeat. It has become the best known site associated with Mother Teresa and the missionaries of charity. Jose Luis Gonzalez Bellotto, a Spanish journalist who served as Spanish coordinator of the co-workers and was among those who helped the missionaries of charity establish a home for the poor in Spain. As the one who worked closely with Mother Teresa for many years, Jose fondly describes the home for the dying in Calicut. To go to Calcutta and not visit Calicut, to see the product of Mother Teresa's work is like going to Rome and failing to see the Vatican. Mother Teresa, 70. Calicut offers more than a tourist interest. It contains the passion and love of hearts, acting on the impulse of a message that renews itself every day.
The Home for the Dying has become a hallowed place. Its very ground has been made holy by the countless acts of love, of devotion, of those who nurse the sick with limitless patience, a place sanctified by the total surrender to God of so many who from there left earth for heaven. a sacred place that all believers enter as respectfully and silently as they enter a temple. Because, as Mother put it tersely, God is here. Quoted in Lay Jolie, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, 45.
The unborn.
In addition to helping others understand that human beings are created in the image of the loving God, and in promoting human dignity, Mother Teresa also used every opportunity to help the faithful respect the ultimate gift of life from the moment of conception to natural death. For her, human life only comes from God, who alone can give it and take it away. Human life is a special and most beautiful gift coming forth from the kind and generous hand of God. Quoted in Gonzalez Bolado, 90. Mother Teresa emphasized that once a child is conceived, there is life, and it is God's life. As a result, that child has a right to live and be cared for. No one is allowed to abort a child. She repeatedly insists. All people know deep down inside that the little child in the mother's womb is a human being from the moment of conception, created in the image of God to love and to be loved. Let us pray that nobody will be afraid to protect that little child. Teresa Joy, 169. She strongly upheld the right to life of a person, even an unborn.
According to Mother Teresa, abortion is a terrible sin to society, no matter if it is legal or illegal. First of all, through the act of abortion, a person denies God as creator of a human life. In Mother Teresa's words, you're not only killing life, but putting self before God. Yet people decide who has to live and who has to die. They want to make themselves Almighty God. Doig 162. Secondly, abortion does not only kill a child, but it destroys two lives, the life of the child and the conscience of the mother. Teresa Joy, 288. Burning inside her with the responsibility to protect human life, everywhere she went, Mother Teresa condemned the killing of an innocent child. When she appeared in front of audiences at any gathering as a guest speaker, she invariably wove in comments about abortion as a crime against children, against women, and against God. For example, before a worldwide audience gathered at the award assembly for the Nobel Peace Prize in December 1979, and in the presence of representatives from many countries that allowed abortion, Mother Teresa did not hesitate to say that abortion is the greatest of crimes. She spoke boldly on the subject. I am not discussing whether there is a need to legalize abortion or not. I simply believe that no human hand has the right to cut down a life. Every existence is the life of God in us. Even the unborn child has divine life in itself. We have no right to annihilate that life by whatever means. Man, woman, child, it makes no difference. Quoted in Jerzy, Her Life, 67. She strongly defended that the life of children and that of adults is still the same life because it comes from God. Mother Teresa strongly criticized the Western countries which legalized abortion. She opposed their reasons such as fear of having too many children, having to feed them, or to educate them. She condemned their killing unborn act because they only wanted to have extra things and extra pleasures. Quoted in Playfoot and Gonzalez Bolado, 61. She warned, by abortion, the mother kills even her own child to solve her problems. And by abortion, the father is told that he does not have to take any responsibility at all for the child he has brought into the world. that father is likely to put other women into the same trouble. Teresa Joy, 371. Overall, Mother Teresa called the poorest people and nations in the world are all those who abort, those who perform abortions, and all nations that destroy life by allowing abortion and euthanasia. Once when Mother Teresa visited the United States, and particularly when she spoke to students, prisoners, and the poor in St. Louis, where she thundered at the vice of abortion and railed at those who kill the unborn child in the mother's womb, "If I had the power, I would open a jail and would put every single doctor who performs abortion in jail for killing a child, the gift of God." Quoted in Gonzalez Bolado, Mother, 94. Mother Teresa obviously condemned abortion as the evil, the plague in modern times.
Killing the innocent is not only killing a human being, but also destroying the sense of peace in human society. Mother Teresa said that she was not surprised when hearing of murders, of killings, of wars, of hatred, because if a mother can kill her own child, what is left for us to kill each other? Teresa Joy, 122. Abortion is the ultimate violation of human rights, a misuse of the freedom that God gives to human society, and abortion is the plague of our time, a constant threat to the whole human race. Quoted in Jersey, Her Life, 66. Generally speaking, the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. If we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, then how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but rather to use any violence to get what they want. Quoted in Woodard, 4. It is obvious to say that peace and killing have not always existed in life together. Mother Teresa had a sarcastic tone when saying that in some countries people save and protect animals, but murder the unborn. In other words, in some places, people get angry if their animals are killed, but they have no hesitation to abort an innocent human being. Many even consider an animal as a family member. Mother Teresa fondly recalled, "I cannot remember now to what city I had gone, but I remember it was one where I did not see any children. I missed the children very badly, and walking down the street, I suddenly saw a cart pulled by a young mother. I crossed the street to see the child. To my terrible surprise, there was no child in the cart. There was a little dog." Quoted in Playfoot and Gonzalez Bolado, 63. Mother Teresa again helped all to understand that children are precious gifts. Besides using speech to help people understand the gift of life coming from God and standing up against abortion, Mother Teresa also did something to counteract abortion and for the protection of human life. She took part in marches and demonstrations against abortion. She joined others in Spain and Italy when their respective parliaments were debating the legalization of abortion. In another occasion, Mother Teresa marched in Florence against a referendum on abortion. On the other hand, in Calcutta, her love for the unborn led her to build homes for unwanted children or orphans.
Mother Teresa recalled her first home for children, Si Shu Bavan, which consisted of a number of tall buildings behind a wall on a busy main road. At the entrance were the day clinics, where the poor could bring their children, and the adoption offices. This house, Si Shu Bavan, was run by Sister Charmaine Jose, who, together with other sisters, looked after about 300 sick or malnourished children at any one time, as well as poor, unmarried mothers, whom they provided with jobs. There was also an outpatient section at which three doctors dispensed medical attention to perhaps 1,000 to 2,000 patients a week.
Mother Teresa did not wait at home to let people bring their unwanted children to her. In Calcutta, every night Mother Teresa and her sisters sent word to all the clinics, to all the police stations, and to all the hospitals. "Please do not destroy the child. We'll take the child," quoted in Playfoot and Gonzalez Velada 64. Mother spoke in the name of those who cannot speak for themselves. For her,
unborn children are among the poorest of the poor. They are so close to God. I always ask doctors at hospitals in India never to kill an unborn child. I see God in the eyes of every child. Every unwanted child is welcomed by us. You know, people worry all the time about innocent children being killed in wars, and they try to prevent this. But what hope is there in stopping if mothers kill their own children? Bardi 69-70.
Mother Teresa shared her deep sadness when seeing those innocents killed or thrown away. She urged everyone to embrace what Jesus said in the Gospel. "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." Mark chapter 9, verse 37. For Mother Teresa, ministering to the children and serving our Lord in the person of a child was so special. She was ever mindful of everyone, of whom Jesus said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Mark chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. As Mother Teresa practiced what Jesus said, she welcomed all children, took good care of every unwanted child, and treated them as her own children.
In another way of protecting unwanted children, the Sishu Bhavan home was the adoption parlor for those who want to discuss adopting some of the children. Mother Teresa wanted to take any child who would be aborted and give him or her to a married couple who would love to adopt children. Mother Teresa said that at her children's home in Calcutta alone, she and her sisters have saved over 3,000 children from abortion, have brought such love and joy to their adoptive parents, and have grown up so full of love and joy. Mother Teresa and her sisters accepted all unwanted children and took care of them until they reached the age of 10. If they were not adopted, Mother Teresa sent them to boarding schools to be educated and then helped them to get a job when they graduated. Once they had settled into their own lives, Mother Teresa usually helped them get married and gave them a dowry to start them off. She and her sisters became the primary caregivers of the unwanted children who had been denied at birth and gave them hope, confidence, guidance, and support until they could take care of themselves as valuable members of society.
Dear fellow listeners, we will stop here with the story of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, an invitation and challenging call to follow in Jesus' footsteps. For more information, we would like you to follow us on website www.mattmaria.org or www.mattmaria.net. You can also email us at mattmaria2000@yahoo.com or by phone with Mrs. Kim Han at 714-265-1512. We look forward to the next time we'll meet again.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome joy shall fill my